Chapter 50. The door intercom buzzed and Peter McKee looked over at his wife.
You're not expecting anyone, are you, Maggie?
His wife looked at her watch. It's after midnight. Barbara said she might pop around, but she didn't confirm, and she wouldn't come at this late hour, obviously. They were watching Breaking Bad on Netflix. It was the second time for them both, but the first time they had binge-watched, and they had forgotten most of it. Peter picked up the remote and pressed pause, then stood up and went to the hallway. The intercom buzzed again.
I'm coming, he said.
If it's one of those students on the top floor, don't let them in, called Maggie. They don't have enough keys. They need to talk to the landlord. They're ringing half a dozen times a day.
I will, said Peter.
But he knew in his heart he wouldn't. It was easier just to press the button to let them in rather than explain why he was refusing to help. Plus, the mail was held in the communal hallway in unlocked pigeonholes, and the last thing he needed was a bunch of angry students making his life a misery. He picked up the receiver.
Yes. Courier delivery, said a man. Sorry about the late hour. The traffic's been a bitch.
It's almost 12:30, said Peter.
Yes, I realise that, and I apologise. But if I don't make all my deliveries tonight, they cut my pay.
Are you expecting a delivery? He called to his wife.
A couple of books from Amazon, said Maggie. Sainsbury's are delivering tomorrow. Let me know if you want to add something.
We could do with some more of that Prosecco if they still have it on special offer, said Peter. But this is the delivery now.
Well, it could be Amazon, but they really shouldn't be delivering this late.
Peter pressed the button to open the front door.
Make sure you tell him not to deliver this late in future. We could have been asleep, called Maggie.
I will do, said Peter.
There was a double knock on the door and he opened it. There was a large man standing with his back to him, but as he opened the door, the man moved, grabbing Peter by the throat and pushing him back into the room. He tried to shout, but he couldn't even breathe. Two more men appeared, both wearing ski masks. They hurried into the hall and pushed their way into the sitting room. He heard his wife gasp, and then he was pushed to the floor, face down.
Please, take whatever you want. Just don't hurt us.
He managed to gasp before something was shoved into his mouth. His hands were taped roughly behind his back, and more tape was used around his mouth. Then a strip of tape was plastered across his eyes.
Listen to me, and listen to me good, said a voice next to his left ear. You stay quiet and give us no trouble, and we'll be gone in a few hours, said the man, with what sounded like an Irish accent. But you fuck us around, and you and your lovely wife will be heading to the emergency room.
Peter tried to speak, but the gag made it impossible to do anything but grunt. He was lifted up and carried along the hallway to the bedroom. Then he was thrown onto the bed. A minute or so later, something was tossed next to him. It was his wife, and he assumed she was bound and gagged the same as he was. He inched across the bed to her, then rolled over so that his back was towards her. He reached out with his hands and managed to find her arms. He ran his fingers down her arms until he found her hands. She gave him a gentle squeeze and relief washed over him. She was alive. And if the man was telling the truth, in a few hours, it would all be over. Whatever it was.